And top of the hour to you here. Gwynn and Chris Crisello. Tony Gwynn Jr. is in, he believes he's in Minneapolis.
Minnesota.
Could be in St. Paul, but he doesn't think so. He's there, and that's where the Padres are as well. They'll play the Twins tomorrow, a little about 5:30-ish or so tomorrow. It's great, 5 o'clock.
I think it's 5:10 our time.
Thank you very much, 5:10 tomorrow. First of that three-game series. Both the Padres and Dodgers are idle today. Padres did just get some good news, though, in the standings, thanks to Jung-Hoo Lee, who singled in the winning run in the bottom of the ninth inning. The Giants walk it off and beat the Cubs 4-3. So that means the Padres are now one game behind the Cubs for the top wild card spot. So good news.
Love it.
There. Phillies have come back to the pack as well, guys. They get swept by the Mets this week in New York. Phillies have lost 10 straight games at Citi Field. That has become their kryptonite there. They can't win there. So the Mets have crept back into it a little bit in the NL East.
I think the Phillies are in trouble. You lose your best pitcher, Zach Wheeler.
I don't think that's
a gut punch, man.
But Aaron Nola is not the same Aaron Nola.
I said last week, he's pitching like Austin Nola. let's get to some other picks and some other games coming up. Today's Daily Gambit is upon us.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwynn and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwynn and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. Chris has taken over commissionership of the Eliminator Challenge. So if you would like to go and sign up for that, go to at 97.3 The Fan SD on Twitter or go to at Chris Ello SD on Twitter. And the link is there.
Yeah, we've already got some people signed up. Of course, the NFL season starts next Thursday. We can have some fun, get in there, pick a winner each week, try to stay alive. And, it's up and running. So
I have relinquished my commissionership duties.
Yeah, I don't really understand what you're relinquishing exactly.
Well, just wait. Just wait until all those questions start pouring in.
What questions?
How do I find the link? What week is it? How do I make my pick? How do I save my pick? Can I see what I saved after I saved it?
All right, I'll tell everybody in advance if you have those problems. You're just not going to be in our league. Like, figure it out.
So you're not going to be in the league?
Yeah. I've already made my pick for week one, my friend.
Oh, have you?
Yeah. Take that.
But yeah, no, if you can't sign up, if you can't follow the link and figure out how to do the eliminator pool, because I think everyone knows how those work now, you just won't be in the
league. Contact Adam Klug.
Yes, call him. But anyway, we hope people will sign up and have some fun with our eliminator challenge at Chris Ello SD. You'll find the link right there. All right, we got, speaking of Aaron Nola, got him in action tonight for the Phillies. They're home to the Atlanta Braves. Phillies favored by 1.5. Braves pitcher, Cal Quantrill. Anybody even know he was with the Braves?
Yeah, what?
Yeah. He was with the Marlins. They let him go. The Braves picked him right up.
Huh.
And away he goes tonight in Philadelphia. The Cal Quantrill, he's the number one pick. Was he not by the Padres?
I think he was.
Yeah, I think he was too. It's faded a little bit, is what's happened. Cal is not having a great year. 4-11 with the 5-5-1. But then Aaron Nolan not having a very good year either. What do you like here? The Phillies are 4 games up on the Mets now. Scrape, why don't you go for it?
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Phillies -1.5. I'm not going Phillies.
Okay,
I'm going Braves. Yeah, I'm going Braves.
Tony, you got any thoughts here?
Is it in Atlanta or in
Philly? It's in Philly tonight, I believe. Oh, let me double check that. Yes, in Philadelphia.
Give me the Phils.
Yeah, Quantrill has not been good. Either's Nola, but I'll take the Phillies. They got to win tonight. Yankees at White Sox, 9 runs over under. Yankees scored, were batting for almost an hour yesterday in the third inning, bottom of the third inning.
Wow.
They hit 4 home runs in one inning. I mean, it was just craziness.
Tony, as a fielder, when you go on an hour in the field, what do you do?
That must have got tiring for those guys.
I mean, it depends. In my younger days, my frustration would be boil over. It'd just be yelling stuff from the outfield. Probably not good stuff.
Yeah, the Yankees sent 15 batters to the plate, scored 9 runs, hit 4 home runs. It was...
You're just waiting for this inning to get, like, just please end. Like, anybody, make a play. Somebody.
Any thought, I know you can't, but any thought of while they're changing pitchers for the third time in the inning, maybe just kind of sitting down in the outfield and resting for a minute?
Oh, definitely the knee. You definitely go to a knee.
By the third pitching change?
For sure. Like, everybody's meeting.
Okay, you go to a knee,
I take that back. By the third pitching change, left fielder and right fielder don't even want to make the walk to center field. So everybody just kneels where they are? Where they are, yeah.
I was going to say, because it is not acceptable to just sit down. But the kneel is okay. That's acceptable.
I mean, it was acceptable for Zach Greinke to sit crisscross applesauce behind the pitching mound.
Was it really acceptable? Right. He did it. I don't know if it was acceptable.
Very strange.
Yankees at Sox. I think over 9 runs is a gimme, the way the Yankees have been swinging. Tony? Nine runs total for the game.
Over. Yeah, over.
Scrape.
I'm going to go over two. White Sox have shown some power this year. But they did put Luis Robert Jr. on the IL. So,
how many games have the old... I haven't checked in on the Shy Sox. They won 41 last year. They've won 48 this year.
Nice job.
They're in the clear. Good job, Will Venable. Attaboy, Will. Who has more total bases tonight in their game? Kyle Schwarber for the Phillies or Aaron Judge for the Yankees? Who has more total bases, Tony Gwynn Jr.?
I'm going to say Schwarber.
I got to go with Schwarber. I know Judge is great. He is. But Schwarber just looks like he's going to hit the ball out of the stadium every time he's up.
He really does.
Schwarber. How about you? Scrape, you want Judge? You can go alone here.
I will. I just want to see. Hold on real quick, because I think Kyle Schwarber is in the middle of a slump.
Wow. Well,
oh, is that right?
In the last 15 games, he's hitting 175. Struck out 16 times.
Last I checked, Cal Quantrill's a pretty good slump buster.
I am going to go with...
You're going with Judge?
Judge.
You can have Judge. We have a second, Tony. Quick comment. Judge, or have you gone to the Cal Raleigh camp yet for MVP? American League.
I think it's too early.
Still too early?
I think it's definitely too early. Certainly, in my opinion, Cal should be the ahead.
Really? Mm. You think he should even be ahead?
I do.
Yeah.
He's doing it from the catching position.
Exactly.
I think that matters.
Yeah, it does. It should matter. But what matters the most, Don Orsillo pointed it out, you and I have talked about it a lot. The Yankees are on the East Coast, and Cal Raleigh's on the West, so we'll see.
They knocked out. When Cal's hitting them homers, they knocked out.
They haven't seen any of them. All right, Aztecs are favored by 18.5. Scraby?
18.5.
Seawolves, or whatever you call them.
The Stoned Brook Seawolves.
Right. 18.5. You ready to give that up?
I'm looking at the weather. It doesn't look like it's going to be a high-flying game tonight.
Listen to him.
It's raining here, Tony. Did you know that?
I did not know. I thought North County it was raining. Not
Kirk
there.
Said it's up raining there, but yeah, here. It's raining here a little bit.
I'm going to go with the Seawolves.
Get out of here.
They might lose by 17,
out of here.
I have to see it before I start betting on the Aztecs.
Goodness.
I'm going with
I respect it, though.
I'm much riding on San Diego State for you and I. Come on.
Yeah, go ahead. Thank you.
All right, one WNBA bet tonight. Minnesota continues to be the team in the WNBA and the MVP candidate, Nafisha Collier. She goes up against Seattle tonight. Breonna Stewart, former MVP, returning to the lineup for New York. She's against Washington tonight. The bet, Collier, minus 6 points versus Breonna Stewart.
Guess where your boy is going after this.
That's where you're going.
Oh,
to see
you're going.
That's where I'm going.
I like it,
our
Tony.
Our guy, Alan Horton, the voice, the radio voice of the T-Wolves.
Yeah.
We're going to have lunch tomorrow, and he invited me to the game, so I'm going to go check out the links.
Well, you that's can, awesome.
Tonight.
You can bet on Nafisha Collier, and you can sit courtside and cheer her on, Tony.
Yeah, give me Nafisha for
you
sure.
Better go with Nafisha there. Yeah, Minnesota's having quite the season in the WNBA.
Yeah.
They are, they don't get a lot of the attention because we've talked about this already.
They don't.
They'll get in fights and push and shove and do silly stuff. They just go win basketball games. They're in 30-7 overall and 18-1 at home. So they've been dominant. I'll take Nafisha Collier. But Breonna Stewart is a noble opponent, for sure.
I'll take Stewart.
For sure.
I'll take Breonna. All right, and Coco Gauff, 5.5 game favorite over Donna.
By the way, that was just random story. That was the one thing I did was cool about Syracuse. I did get a chance to meet Breonna Stewart, who's from that area, at the airport randomly. We were, like, traveling to play somebody.
Did she come up and go, hey, are you Tony Gwynn Jr.? No,
absolutely not.
She did?
We, like, walked. We all went up to her like we were like little kids. Like, oh, very nice to meet you, Miss Stewart.
I like it.
All
right.
Yeah, it was cool.
I like it.
Sorry, I digress.
Right, no, we're good. We'll take the break. Those are our picks for tonight. We have a Rise Talk coming up.
3:40.
Okay, 3:40, you say, for Luisa Rise Talk.
Yes, because we have our guest up next.
Soccer, first place, playoff confirmed.
Confirmed.
SDFC. Yes, we do our soccer thing on Thursday, so stick around for that after traffic.
And away we go. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, little Gwynn and Chris. Getting ready for Marcelo Balboa to join us.
Analyst
for
MLS. Can the airwaves handle three Aztecs at once? Marcello was a good Aztec.
The more the Aztec, the merrier.
Yeah, exactly. Marcello was a he was in the Eric Winalda days of Aztec soccer. I'm bringing up things that Tony's not. He wasn't there for, but Marcello was a guy on the Aztecs back in the day.
Well, I knew he's an Aztec.
Yeah,
I didn't know the
I era.
Wasn't familiar with the era. Yeah,
I wonder if I'd even have to. You know, they made the national championship game one year in soccer, the Aztecs.
That's cool.
Got all the way to the final game. Yeah. And they lost. I think it was to Virginia. Could have been to Clemson. But I don't know if Marcello was on that team.
Well, I thought you were the trivia expert.
I'm pretty good. I'm not great on college soccer. It's not my top category.
Okay, but, good. I'm going to go to college soccer questions and Chris versus the fans.
Go right ahead. Give that a shot. If you can find one, you can ask it.
We'll be talking some SDFC here with Marcello.
By the way, real quick, Tony, we should update everybody, remind everybody, if you're just tuned in, there was one big story today. Micah Parsons was traded from the Cowboys to the Packers. Cowboys get two first-round picks in return, plus a defensive tackle. But we were talking about SDFC last week, and we were talking on the on our interview about trying to find a nickname for this team, because SDFC doesn't really roll off the tongue. And apparently, some of our listeners were telling us, and I looked up online, that people are starting to call the team the Chrome.
And Chrome, huh?
Yes, the Chrome.
Where does that come from?
Because the team colors are dark blue and chrome.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're calling the team the Chrome. And then we come to find out.
I got a text message.
Got a text message. According to this texter, the Chrome nickname was invented by our former colleague, Mr. Elston.
Yes. Elston. We had to give him his due.
We got to give him his due. We're using his nickname.
Shout out to Craig.
Yeah, we got to give Craig a little love on that.
Because
one,
Chris and I kept claiming it as our own, and then
we weren't claiming it as our own.
His podcast that he started way before we started saying the Chrome is called the Chromaniacs, and they talk about SDSC.
Yeah.
He calls them Los Cromados, which is the Chrome in Spanish.
Okay.
So
now you're getting a little too in-depth for me.
Craig Elston invented the Chrome.
Very good. So good on you,
nice,
Mr. Elston. But the Chrome is in action again this week, and you know their season just continues to be fantastic, Tony.
Yeah, no,
so
it's,
we're pleased with those guys.
It's quite remarkable what they have been able to accomplish to this point.
They did have a rare nil-nil game last week. I've only had a couple of those because they've been fun offensively, putting a lot of goals up there and stuff.
Yeah, let's get to our guest. Marcelo Balboa joins us, analyst for MLS Season Pass on Apple Plus. Marcelo, how are you? Thank you for joining us today.
I'm good, my friend. How are you?
We are well. Three Aztecs on the line together. It's always a good day when you're able to pull that off. Talk to us a little bit about SDFC. I mean, they have already clinched their postseason spot. How does a team kind of navigate with the rest of the season from here? I mean, there's so much buildup to get to that point. You've already accomplished it before the season. And how does the team continue to kind of press forward from here?
Listen, they have to keep basically what they've been doing, because a lot of teams, and we'll give you, for a few years ago, St. Louis had a goal of making the playoffs. And as soon as they made the playoffs, they were in first place in the West. They won the West. But as soon as they hit that first place, it's like they reached their goal. And as soon as they reached their goal, all of a sudden they dropped their intensity because they knew they were in the playoffs. Next thing you know, at the end of the year, they lost 5 out of 6 and went into the playoffs as the number one seed and lost in the first round. So it's important to, you know, and I think it's completely different. Mikey's got these guys flying right now. They're playing good football. So the mentality's got to be right every day now. Now it's about mentality and it's about grinding it out, because, there's two seasons. Regular season is almost done. And now the most important part of our season comes, those playoff games. And those playoff games are dangerous, very dangerous when you play 2 out of 3.
Marcelo Balboa is our guest, and I was talking, Marcelo, about the glory days of Aztec soccer. And 1988 was when you arrived. You were an All-American.
Yeah,
you're twice an All-American, but you missed the national championship game by one season. It was 1987
when
they were there. Glory days, though. I remember it. Was Chuck Clegg wasn't the coach of that. Was he the coach?
Yes, he was.
He was.
Yes, he was.
A neighbor of mine, believe it or not. And you had Winalda. I mean, those are some good old days, and now we finally have some good old days in soccer again in America's finest city, right?
You know what? Those were great days. You know what I mean? I missed that year because I was supposed to play that year, but I sat out because I ended up playing in the Youth World Cup in 87. So I decided to not play, and I came after that. So I played 88, 89. But, God, the glory days of the San Diego Soccers with Kevin Crow, Fernando Clavijo, Jungle. You know what I mean? It was just wonderful in San Diego. Brian Quinn on the national team with us. You know what I mean? Let's be honest. It's always been a soccer town. It's just nice that it finally was able to hit MLS and people realize, oh crap, look at all these players we've had for so many years here, men and women. And it's just blossoming there. And it's so cool to be able to go back in a few weeks to do one of the games in San Diego. So I'm excited about that again. But yeah, the good old days of soccer. You know, I could tell you hundreds of stories because Ronaldo was my roommate. It would scare you. So
yeah, that would scare us. Yeah, Ronaldo was a free spirit for sure.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We had a few of those. Jeff Betts. We had a few of those.
Marcel Balboa joins us here, analyst for MLS Season Pass. And Marcel, you mentioned Mikey Varas here earlier.
Yeah.
There's something about him and how he seems to have this team really playing some of its best soccer. And it struck me the very first time we got a chance to speak on him. He just seemed like a very charismatic gentleman that seems like he finds a way to get the best out of his players. He's doing a terrific job this year, I'd say.
He's done a great job. He'll be up for Coach of the Year. And if they can stay in, if I can tell you this, if they can stay in first place and win the West, I don't see how you don't give him Coach of the Year. You know what I mean? But yeah. With that comes a lot of pressure, let's be honest, because, you know, 1 year doesn't make you a great coach. Consistency, you know what I mean, over years. So this is a great start for Mikey and for San Diego. And now we're going to expect more next year. And we're going to expect more the year after that, because once you build a winner and once you have a winning team, your fans want to win, your franchise wants to win, your players want to win. And with that comes pressure. And that's what we love about our sport, finally. The pressure you have to win, the pressure to have to buy the right players, to put the right product on the field, to get the fans to come to support. So he's had a fantastic year. The franchise, everybody's doing a wonderful job there. Now, you know what it comes down to? Now it's come to crunch time. Now can you get the best? You play your best soccer in MLS at the end of the year, not at the beginning of the year. If you play your best soccer at the end of the year, you have a chance to win an MLS Cup. Now we got to see this team. The last 8 games will tell us how and where they're at.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, you're coming right down to it. They got LAFC on the road this Sunday and then back home on the 13th for Minnesota United, which I know is right behind them in the league standings. So some good games still to come. Marcelo, the SDFC thing, we've loved it. We've been talking about it. I want to just ask you while I have you. You are a guy who's a star on the U.S. national team. And this is going back now 30 years or so. I hate to age all of us, but
it's all good. It's all good.
Hey, look, I remember you playing, so I'm in the same thing. But would you have kind of thought, looking back, that maybe 30 years now later, that the U.S., you know, men's soccer overall on a world level might be ahead of where it actually is? Or is it about where it kind of still should be?
I think we're at where we should be. And only because, listen, no one had expectations of us in 90, 94. Little by little, after 94, people started having more expectation of us, of this group. And we've been growing at a steady pace. You know, we went from a league that, let's be honest, an MLS, which was built for American players, to now you got teams all over the world coming to get our players. So national teams, the academies have done a great job of developing these kids. Because look at all the kids from Tyler Adams, Weston McKinney, Pulisic. They all played somewhere in some sort of academy in the United States. So, yeah, I think we're where we should be. I think that this team right now, we labeled them the Golden Generation because of all of the players that have left this country to go play for big-time teams all over the world, which is great. That's what we wanted. That's the pressure they need to have. So now, you know, the bottom line is they got to perform, man. That's what it comes down to. When you put on that national team shirt, you got to get it done. And this past year, they have not gotten it done. So, yeah, there's been a lot of bickering between players and Landon Donovan and Pulisic, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. If the guy needs a break, who are we to tell Pulisic that he needs a break? You know, Landon took over 100 days off and did the same thing, and nobody busted his chop. So, you know what? At the end of the day, when they come back from this vacation and they come back from this rest, when they put on that damn shirt, now they got to step it up, because there's only 11 months left, and now it's time to put the game face on. Now it's time, because you're going to make or break this sport in the next World Cup, because all eyes all over the world, every country is going to be watching what the U.S. is doing with the players they have, because we've been hyped up. We've been talking about these players. People know our players.
Right.
So this is going to be huge. They could take this game in the United States to the next level. Getting into a quarterfinal could take this game over the top of what we want in this country to open people's eyes. If they don't get out of the group, it could take it. We may take a step backwards because of the failure. So this team has a lot of pressure to get into a quarterfinal. Anything less than a quarterfinal for me is not acceptable.
Love it. Love it, Marcel. Thank you for your time today, man. We enjoyed this conversation big time. So let's do
Boys,
it again.
Boys, anytime. You have my number. Anytime.
Very good. Thanks, Marcelo. Nice talking with you.
Bye, guys. You
enjoyed
too.
That.
Care, guys.
Marcelo Balboa, as I said, analyst for the MLS season pass on Apple Plus. I think he hit the nail on the head there at the end.
Interesting. Yeah, right. Locke's going to be on the line with the World Cup. And as this guy played, right? He was on the U.S. national team for many years, back in the 80s, 90s. So he knows of what he speaks. And guys in the National Soccer Hall of Fame. That's a big time soccer athlete right there, for us. And I hope they listening up to Marcelo.
Scraby, where are we navigating to from here?
Well, I think it's time for us to talk about Luis Urias, because Chris.
That's right.
Chris.
I've been chomping at the bit, right?
No, I don't know. Chris.
No, I don't know.
Chris is. I don't know even what to say. I just keep saying Chris is about Luis Urias.
Okay, let's get to break since you don't know what to say. I'll take over. We'll get to break. Luis Urias on the other side, at least the conversation.
All right, welcome back. 3:36 is the time. I've been waiting for this next segment all day, all night, all week.
I've been dreading this next segment.
You know, I pick up the paper today. It's everywhere you go right now surrounding the Padres. And that is, should Luis Urias be batting second? And that is the big one. Kevin Acey, I think, explained it perfectly in a story today. He said there actually has been some talk internally about, what to do here. But he added that the talk outside the organization has been much more vehement about it. And that's just accurate. I mean, if you go on any social media, all you're going to see is everybody complaining about this. Now, you can downplay it some and say that it's just some loud voices. But there does seem to be a groundswell of support for taking a rise out of the two-hole. Maybe it is born in the fact that he's hitting something like, 224 over the last 21 games, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think some people might have been excited yesterday because he wasn't in the two-hole. Ramon Laureano, who a lot of people would like to see there, was batting second. And, of course, ironically, Tony, the game comes down to Ramon Laureano coming to the plate, which I thought was kind of interesting after all of this talk. Although Mike Shildt said after the game, it was just a day off for Luis Urias. Certainly expects him back in there this weekend. It's Mike Shildt's lineup to make, and I keep pointing that out to our fans as well, Tony. Stop shooting the messenger over here. I don't know what it is. People seem to think I am the Luis Urias apologist. I don't mean to be. I just want to keep pointing out that I believe there's some value in Luis Urias, and if the Padres felt he should move down, they would move him down already, but they haven't.
Yeah, and that's why it doesn't matter if it's a thousand people. It doesn't matter until Mike Shildt decides to change the lineup on his own.
Yeah.
So, it is what it is. Luis has had a bad month. He's hit like 213th in the month of August, which is why this conversation is happening. It wasn't happening in July when he was swinging a bat good. It's happening now because, people start to panic. That's just what it is. People, they start to panic. How can we move it? We need to move. When Mike Shildt is ready to change it, and when, the powers that be are ready to change it or think it should be changed, it'll be changed. The conversation is we've had it a number of times at this point, and everybody is entitled to how they feel about it, but don't really matter how everybody feels about it. Only matters how Mike Shildt and the Padres feel about it. And at this point, according to what Kevin wrote, there's no plans to move him out of the two spots. So y'all just gonna have to keep whining about it until it happens.
Oh, they don't need your go-ahead, Tony. They'll whine. They'll whine anyway.
I'm,
and here comes one of the main whiners, by the way.
No, when it real quick, when it happens, then we'll get a chance to see what it is. It ain't happened yet.
I think I'm not a whiner, Chris, by the way.
I take
offense
on
to
this,
that.
On this category.
But I... Is there... Do you...
The constant is... But I don't know. Like,
Do you guys... I mean, can you guys acknowledge that there is a not a hole in the lineup, but there's a dip at the two spot right now, and you can't go into the playoffs without a two spot hitting?
I'm not acknowledging that because the playoffs ain't started yet. The playoffs is a full month away. Now, if we get to that point at that particular time, and he's or whoever, if it ain't him, whoever it is, right? We'll be saying the same thing about that person. It is August, whatever. You can't August 28th, right? Did I get that right?
Yes.
You can't predict. Just as you couldn't predict the Padres when they were 9 games out of second place that they would end up in first place at some point. You don't know how it's going to turn. And you know, for that matter, the idea is that you drop him down, right? And that you move everybody else up, whoever everybody is, right? If he continues to be in a slump, right, and you're moving him down, guess what? Now you have that same problem you had a little bit earlier in the season, which is that bottom portion of the lineup ain't really producing. And so, you know, again, when Mike – and AJ and whoever else is making that decision, when they get ready to move Luis Arraez down, take him out, whatever it is they decide, they'll do it. The continued conversation about it is just that until something else changes.
Tony is you're speaking my language on this one, Tony. And Scraby and I were, you know, kind of at each other's throats about it yesterday, and I think Scraby's representing the small, you know, percentage of the populace that wants to see this all happen.
You just put me in a bracket that the small percentage. If Kevin Acey is writing news articles about it, then there's more than just me thinking about
it. I said the small percentage. I said you're representing a group of people that think he needs to move.
I'm not even saying that he needs to move. I'm just asking for you guys to admit that he's not the same hitter that he has been in his career.
I will admit that he's not the same hitter right now that he has been in his career. Okay. But as I said yesterday...
What? That's obvious. Why are we having to admit that?
It's not even... Yeah, right.
He's hitting .213 in the month of August.
We know he's struggling. But here is my point on that. Scraby didn't like this point, but I'll make it again. When Manny went 14 games without driving in a run, I didn't hear anybody saying he should be moved out of the spot. Why? Because Manny has done it in the past. Well, frankly, Luis Arraez has done it in the past. He's won 3 straight batting titles. If he hits .330 or .400 in the month of September, which he's certainly capable of doing, if he gets hot, then they'd be happy to ride that into the playoffs with him swinging the bat like
you.
That.
I'm with you.
So why do we have to move him when he's in a slump? If we have to move him when he's in a slump, then we should move everybody when they're in a slump. That was the point I was trying to make.
I mean, there's some consistency. They wanted to move Toddy. People wanted to move Toddy when he was struggling in that leadoff spot, but they didn't move him either. They stuck with it. I'm not sitting here saying that they don't need to move him. I'm just saying he hasn't moved him yet. So we can keep going around this merry-go-round and having this conversation. But until it actually happens, we just are going to just keep having this conversation.
No, we're not. And there's always going to be, I found this over the years, there's always going to be one player that people are upset with because they're not producing at the moment, which is part of being a baseball
player.
But
that can literally change, and we see it literally all the time. That changes from week to week. The calendar turns September, right? All of a sudden, the calendar changes, and such has gotten hot. Like, that happens all the time. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but until Mike or AJ or whoever's making that decision, I'm assuming it's Mike. When Mike makes that decision, then we'll be able to be like, all right, let's see what it looks like now with whoever in the two spot. But we've exhausted this Luis Arraez moving down thing. Until it happens, it's just talk.
Yeah, but you got to do it, Tony. You have to do it. Number one, because Luis Arraez is useless.
Number See, this two, is where you go wrong, is you put words in people's mouth.
Number two, I'm even hearing people say this, that Fernando not hitting home runs is a result of people pitching around him because they are not concerned at all with Arraez.
I mean, they do intentionally walk Fernando to get to Arraez.
So Arraez is now taking the blame for Fernando's struggles as well. So everything is on Arraez in the minds of some people. That just seems silly to me, but...
All right, let me... Okay. I don't even know if I want to ask this because I already know the answer.
Just ask.
You guys are the manager of the Padres.
What would I do?
What would you do? When would you... Would you move him down? Are you just going to keep him there for the rest of the season? What are you going to do, Crisello? Manager Crisello?
I'm cutting him loose, but...
You're cutting him loose? Yeah, that's not what I'm saying either.
The good news is he can join Xander Bogaerts out in the free agent scrap heap because we cut him 2 months ago as well. I mean, all of the anguish, all of the... I mean, the guy that they piled on endlessly was Xander. The first 3 months of the season.
And we stood by him. We did.
Okay. So, and you know what? We kind of reaped the rewards of that. He's had an incredibly good last 2 months. Some of the best in all of baseball. I don't know. I just think if Arraez hadn't won 3 batting titles and shown what I think he can do, then I'd be very quickly moving him around. But
progress in this conversation.
I think he could hit 415 in the month of September just as easily as he can hit 215.
Let me go through his months for you guys because I have that right in front of me. In the first part of the year, March, it was like five games. He had one hit. That's fine. April, he hit 355. May, he hit 274. June, he hit 288. July, he hit 323, and then August, he's hitting 233. So it's been
we're saying 335, 275, 285, and 315 is a roller coaster.
I take it back. I do.
My point is what is he hitting this month?
233.
So he's had a atrocious month of August, and that's what's leading to this conversation. I don't recall this happening at the beginning of August or July when he just finished hitting 335. It happened that he had a bad month, and rightfully so, right? I mean, people are, you know, as I said, panicked about the pods and what they're going to look like come September. I think it would be crazy to... And listen, maybe you move him down to get him going again. I'm with that. But I think he's best suited in that two spot when he's swinging the bat the way that we've seen him swing the bat.
And yeah, so, but he's also taken away stolen bases for Fernando. Here's another argument that I keep hearing is that when Fernando runs, Arraez fouls the pitch off.
Has he ever asked you a question?
You're going to say, I think what I want to say. Go ahead, yeah.
Has it ever dawned on anybody in their mind at all that, I don't know, maybe there's a hit and run?
Yeah, I did want to ask that because that is a possibility.
Has it ever dawned in anybody's mind that maybe he's the one that's initiating the hit and run? Has it ever crossed anybody's mind that might be?
I definitely wanted to ask that because we don't know, and so that is a fair point to make that there could be a play on.
But the other thing is,
I think it's fair to bang on Luis because he hasn't swung the bat well. But the idea that he's just taking stolen bases away, like he doesn't want to hit with a runner in scoring position, and perhaps
that's more of the fancy baseball crowd. That's crazy.
I mean, that is so crazy because the other thing is that everybody just assumes if Arraez let the pitch go that Fernando would automatically be safe, and that is not the case either. So it's you're right, Tony. I'm exhausted. But
you've had an exhausting 2 weeks.
I've been hearing about it ever since. Look, ever since Ryan O'Hearn hit a home run against Robbie Ray, I feel like I've been public enemy number one, and that's fine. But to bring this thing full circle, as I said yesterday, tomorrow Ryan O'Hearn is going to be our guest on the show. So we will get to go face-to-face with him. But please, I wish everybody would understand that I want every guy to get a hit every single time up. I root for all these guys. I think this team has a chance, yeah, a real chance to win the thing this year, and I want to see it happen. But I'm just a little surprised at all of the anguish out there, and I think too much of it is being directed at Louisa Rise right now. I just do.
Yeah. I think there's also a
misinformation campaign on some certain things. Sorry, I'm not going to say your name on the chat, but Crony, despite his couple hits this series against Seattle, has not been productive offensively. I would disagree with that. The last seven games, he's hitting .368, a home run, four RBIs.
Right.
He has seven hits.
Saying. Does some of y'all even watch the game? Like, what? He had a great series against the Mariners. He's been killing.
He's had a .279 batting average in August.
He also had an 18-game streak where he was on base, which was led baseball there for 3 weeks. But again, Tony, the Cronenworth thing's another one for me. If you look at the analytics, which is what a lot of, I think, the complainers do, they look at
analytics. That's where people hate you, is because you call everybody complainers. you could say detractors, and it's a little bit better.
All right? For all the complainers out there, for all the ones that look at analytics and immediately just pick on something because they see something analytically, I point out the fact that the analytics say that Jake Cronenworth is simply the worst defensive second baseman in baseball. But my eyes do not tell me that.
I don't
believe anybody's eyes can tell them that if they watch all the Padre games like we all do. So I think you have to take a lot of it with a grain of salt. You really do.
I feel like this is a strictly an us thing. Just to give you an example. Mookie Betts is hitting second for the Dodgers. He's been hitting second all year. His WRC is actually worse than Luis's. At least it was when I last looked. No one's asking him to be moved out of this two hole, right? Like he's had a bad year all year. It hasn't just been a month. And so, you know, I just think ultimately, whether it's to get him going again, you're going to need that dude in your lineup at some point when it matters most. That's just my opinion.
Mookie's OPS this year is almost astoundingly low, .695, which is not a Mookie Betts OPS.
But yeah, Tony might be right, though. Nobody's calling for him to be removed. Why? Because he has a track record of being great.
Tony, don't make points and then...
It goes back to what you were saying a little bit earlier. It's selective on what histories we're going to lean on and say, you know, no, he's got his track record, though, says we can keep doing it. But his track record ain't good enough for us to keep moving forward. So, I don't know.
I know.
Do you know what they're calling?
I just want the team to win, Chris.
But you know what all this is just an exercise. Because until Mike Shield actually pins the change, it's just what it is.
I want to finish with one more really mean thing that I saw about Luisa Rise. Do you know what they're calling him now? Online?
I don't even want to know because it's not fair to him.
They're calling him Phony Gwynn.
Wow. I mean, that's kind of
a harsh
kind
comment.
Of clever, but it's not true.
Cornball USA is what that is. Get out of here.
I'm telling you.
I read it. Phony. Number one, those are probably all the Dodgers fans in the mentions because I don't think Padres fans are calling him Phony Gwynn.
Well, I think it's the reference apparently to the fact that Tony won a lot of batting titles, but he was great. Arise has won a lot of batting titles, but he's not.
But that's a false statement from those people.
I'm glad my dad played in the 90s.
Yeah, no kidding.
Y'all would hate him, too. He'd be like, oh, punching Judy. Y'all be doing him crazy.
I do think it's got a little too far with the Phony Gwynn. Come on, people. That's not cool.
You said it was the Dodger people. Leave it alone.
Yeah, they're listening right now. They're always listening. And then they jump on the chat. Dodgers, Padres. And then they go back to their bridges. All right, Chris, for some fans.
I loved all of that. Let's do it again next hour.
More good at Chris on the other side.